when we're on the defensive side of trying to stop a big return. As far as the offense, now of course, ask Mr. Kent. Might as well call him Clark Kent, because sometimes he is Superman. He makes some pretty amazing throws and pretty amazing plays. But what Kent likes to do at quarterback is he's quite good at spreading the ball around instead of just finding one receiver. You know, he was able to find Clinton Solomon a good handful of times up the sideline. He was able to find various people across the middle, and he's very good at finding the open guy and not purposely looking down certain receivers. That's just the way things work, and that's the way he operates. Now, I do like that Clinton Solomon compared him to Chris Dixon as a taller version of him. I thought Dixon was quite good at his tenure here with the Revolution. But, you know, as far as Kent, like I said, I think he can scramble when he needs to, but his pocket presence is probably the best in the league as far as any of the indoor teams, in my opinion. He does have speed on the outside. Of course, Brett Reese, as he comes back, and Clinton Solomon, there's speed all over the place, really. But as we saw, Clinton was able to put some moves on some people, as he said. He put some veteran moves on, was able to get some separation, and sometimes had as much as two or three steps on the guy trying to guard him. So I don't think that's going to be an issue either. And then he has quickness in the middle. Now, there's a difference between speed and quickness. Speed is like flat out 40, just going to outrace you, outmaneuver you. Quickness, as far as up in the middle, means you're going to be able to come across quickly, come up the seam, whatever it is. Quickness means, you know, speed is like flat out, where quickness is the ability to get open quickly. Speed you use mostly to outrun people. And the crazy thing is all the receiving core on the Revolution have both speed and quickness. But the way they line up will be very interesting, and I look forward to seeing that. I wouldn't doubt it be very similar to the game against the Stealth as far as point-wise, at least for the Revolution. The offensive line, led by people like Cameron Young, what they like to do is they like to create a wall. Now, there's a thing as a pocket and a wall, and I think you guys know the difference between those. Really, in case you don't, here's what I mean. When you create a pocket is where, you know, take your hand, make a straight line, now curl it up into a C. That is a pocket. That's when you create a, you know, pretty much a semicircle, and that's the pocket that most people create so that a quarterback can stand there or step up in the pocket and make a throw. What I like that our offensive line does is sometimes they do a pocket, sometimes they just create a wall or just a flat line that allows Kent to move backwards, forwards, left, right, whatever he needs to do to the spot he needs to, you know, as though it is a wall. He can run and jump, you know, look over the certain part and make sure to pick off the throw when he really needs to. To me, this offensive line had really solidified itself by the end of last season. And like I said, given the personnel that we have and the fact that, you know, the receiving core and Kent and this offensive line, I mean, the sky's the limit and the ball is definitely in their court as far as how good we're going to be able to do. The fact of the matter is, though, to me, it's going to come down to these running backs, and specifically because I believe there is a third one as well, but I believe it is going to come back to Darius Fudge and Jordan Brown, by far, to me, one of the best 1-2 punches in any backfield, and maybe I'm a little biased, but Jordan Brown really had a breakout game against the Stealth. Who knows, maybe it's Fudge's turn, maybe they both do. It just, that's the best thing about having two A-plus runners in the backfield, as one can have an off night, the other one is on, or maybe they both are on, or, you know, it always works out to where at least one of them is just flying, because there's two different they have two different styles, really. Seems like Jordan likes to kind of swing around on a wheel route, which means he's going to come around the edge created by the offensive line, where Darius likes to use his speed and go in between the tackles. Now, he'll go on the edge as well, and Jordan can easily go in the middle, but it seemed to me that Darius would rather hit the hole through the middle Jordan would like to come around the edge. And guys, if I'm wrong in that, feel free to send me a message. I will correct myself and I will stand corrected. But that's at least how I've seen them run in all the games that I've seen, and I think it's just a phenomenal job of what they do. Now, let's move to the defensive side. The defensive line, starting with people like DeMario Dixon, who is the returning, defending CIF Defensive Player of the Year. We got to get him a trophy. We got to get him something. I heard the league didn't give out trophies for something like that. I think they do for MVP, but why not MVP of the defense? Because by far, DeMario Dixon was the best defensive player by a long shot. So, DeMario, I'm in your corner on that one. Maybe we'll get you a trophy and send it or something like that, or we can get with the refs and get something made up. But what they like to do, they like to create pressure, and the way they do that, it all starts with DeMario because he likes to come just head-on at somebody. It usually makes them try to send somebody else his way, which leaves a weakness somewhere else. Now, when they create the pressure, this offensive line is usually pretty good at creating pressure that frees up people like linebacker Taylor McCullough, who will come flying up in those gaps that's created. Kind of like a distraction option. Think of it like a magician's trick. He's going to snap his right hand and move it to one side of his body while he's doing something with his left that you never saw. That's pretty much what we try to do. We'll have somebody like DeMario rush up one side real hard, or we'll overload one side, and then those linebackers come flying in. Or we may fake that, drop somebody like Taylor back into coverage, and he picks it off. He actually had 2 sacks against the stealth, so congratulations, Taylor, on that. And just one quick note on you, Taylor, because I know you're listening. I've talked to John Navarez about this, and I hope we can remedy this. But, Taylor, for the love of all things football, can we find you a jersey that fits? I mean, I'm happy for you if you want to show off those amazing abs you have there, but God, I know it was bugging you. You were constantly tugging at your jersey the whole game because it looked like maybe somebody, you know, got it from, you know, the kids section as opposed to the regular section. It just, I mean, I know you've been working out, but, you know, maybe it comes down to, Taylor, make sure to check the L next time, the box next to the L, not the one, the M, because by far, I'm just messing with you, Taylor. But, yeah, we do need to find you a jersey that fits, because I know it was bugging you a little bit, and finally you ignored it and just started dominating everybody to where it didn't matter. But, you know, the linebacking core, as we shift to that, led by Taylor McCullough, who by far is just an impact player if there ever was one. DeMario Dixon is the defensive line version of what Taylor does as a linebacker. Like I said, he can drop into coverage. He can stay in the middle and be a spy and a distraction sometimes to the quarterback. And he can also rush. Like I said, he had 2 sacks versus the stealth. Now, moving to the secondary. We all know that's led by the face of the team and the face of this franchise, Mr. Frankie Solomon Jr. And as we learned, cousin of Clinton Solomon. Learned something new. The law firm, as they like to call themselves, of Solomon and Solomon. And in the process, Frankie likes to do a blanket coverage a lot of times. And what that means is they kind of spread out. It's kind of a zone, but not really, at least the way I describe a zone. And they kind of spread it out and force you, if you're going to throw it, you're going to throw it to certain places, and by the time you do, they're either going to pick it off, knock it down, or immediately have the tackle. They're not going to allow you to get a lot of yards after the catch. Now, they take a lot of chances as well, but they're all calculated risks because they make sure that they're not going to give up the big gain in going for that. But, you know, the blanket coverage for sure is what's going to keep them in this game. I think anything the Venom are going to throw at them is going to be contained either by the blanket coverage there, by Taylor McCullough in the middle, or by the pressure created by DeMario and others on the front line. Now, that's pretty much my preview of this weekend. I'm not going to put a score on it because I do want to see how everything meshes, and I do agree with what Sonny Clark said, that I want to see how this team responds to the new coaching staff. We haven't seen, you know, if they're already gelling together or if they're still trying to learn the scheme or learn the tendencies of the way the coaches like things to be done, because that is actually the fourth facet to me. You have offense, you have defense, and you have special teams, and then, of course, you have the coaching staff that factors into a game, because the front office can make all the moves in the world, or they can set up all the practices they need to, but when the game starts, the front office usually doesn't have much to do with the performance on the field. So I think this coaching staff is a really good coaching staff. I've done some digging on them and some more homework, and you know, maybe next week we'll have a little more on that. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my preview. Make sure this Friday night, March 11th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, of course that is Texan time, make sure to tune in to eversport.tv so that you can catch the Texas Revolution versus the Amarillo Venom. And make sure to tune in next week as I believe we'll have Captain Don in from Inside the Revolution. And of course, if you haven't got a chance to watch Inside the Revolution, you can go to TexasRev.com. You can also go to their Facebook page, Texas Revolution, and they will have all kinds of stuff there. Captain does an amazing job covering the team and with the interviews and all the media stuff that we have to do. So it'd be fun to have her on. We'll hopefully have her on and have a good time with that. And hopefully talk about the first victory of the year. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you.